Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
The vaccine is working. That's the message from Clackamas County health officials as they respond to concerns and questions from vaccine-hesitant residents who want to make the best decisions for themselves and their families. Officials point to a 46% drop in the number of new coronavirus infections the county has seen in the past 2 weeks as evidence that the vaccines are doing their job. Fully vaccinated adults 65 or older are 94% less likely to be hospitalized with COVID-19, according to CDC data, and more than 286 million doses of the vaccine have been given to Americans under the most intense safety monitoring in U.S. history, with serious safety problems being extremely rare. Yet, vaccine hesitancy remains a big challenge in Clackamas County, the smallest and most conservative of the three that comprise the Portland metro region, and the only one that has not yet crossed the all-important mark of 65% of the eligible population vaccinated. Reaching the goal would put Clackamas County in the lower risk tier, the lowest and least restrictive level in the governor's reopening matrix, with capacity limits and other restrictions on restaurants, gyms, theaters, venues, and other businesses being greatly reduced. The fastest way to loosen restrictions on our local businesses is to get the 65% vaccination rate, the Clackamas County officials said in an email update on May 28th. As of Friday, 214,173 Clackamas Countyans, or about 61.2% of the eligible population, 16 and older, have gotten the shot. Officials say that about 13,460 more will need to be immunized to hit the 65% mark. If current trends continue, Clackamas County could reach the milestone as early as next Friday, though the second week of June appears more likely. Crossing that threshold by Tuesday, June 8th, when the county risk levels are set to be reevaluated, would be significant for two reasons. It would put the Clackamas County in low-risk territory in the time for Canby High School's graduation on Friday, June 11th, meaning the ceremony could be held as one event rather than being split into two. It would also bode well for the momentous Clackamas County Fair Board meeting that week when directors plan to make an official decision regarding the 2021 County Fair and Canby Rodeo. As the third largest in Oregon, Clackamas County is also critical to the state's goal of vaccinating at least 70% of Oregonians 18 and older, which would abolish the risk level system and remove virtually all restrictions and capacity limits on businesses. Officials continue to hold free vaccine clinics throughout Clackamas County, including one organized at the Ackerman Center last week by the Canby School District and Canby Fire. Another is scheduled for June 2nd at Malala High School, and two more on June 8th and 11th at Canby Foursquare Church. For information about COVID-19 vaccination clinics and the availability in Clackamas County, visit clackamas.us/coronavirus/vaccine. Call 211 or email questions to covidvaccine@clackamas.us. If you have questions about taking the vaccine, consult your healthcare provider. The the city has canceled annual Canby Independence Day celebration in Waite Park for the second straight year due to the continuing coronavirus pandemic. Though restrictions are gradually loosening in parts of the state as the vaccine rollout continues, Clackamas County remains in the high-risk tier for the governor's reopening matrix. Complicating the matter is the fact that planning for the massive celebration takes over 6 months, typically starting in January. Given the ever-evolving and dynamic COVID directives, unfortunately, it became apparent that the city would need to cancel the 2021 Canby Independence Day celebration, City Administrator Scott Archer said in a press release. Event planning for Independence Day begins in January, and even though restrictions have loosened, there were no assurances in place that the risk sector guidance would allow for this or any event to occur. I'm looking forward to the next year when we can gather again and celebrate as a community. The Canby Fire District will also not be holding its annual fireworks display at Baker Prairie Middle School this year and encourages residents who do private displays to be mindful of personal and wildfire safety. Other groups will be active on the 4th of July weekend, such as the Canby Farmers Market, which is planning a two-day event. Last year's July 4th market was the busiest day in the event's history, and the community had no shortage of fireworks, with private citizens lighting the skies with patriotic displays well into the night. The city has not yet decided the fate of its other events this summer. The first Thursdays in downtown Canby are the Big Night Out street dance at the end of August. Said Economic Development Director Jamie Stickle, quote, "We are eagerly watching how the directives are amended as we enter into the summer. The Big Night Out street dance is a much smaller event, and we feel comfortable waiting until early July to make any decision about whether we can host the event or not." It's not exactly a secret that the past year and a half have been challenging for the country's small and independently owned restaurants, bars, and other venues. Now, with the end of the pandemic in sight and restrictions loosening across the state, two local businesses in Canby have partnered together to do their part in helping the local restaurants and watering holes they love. Realtor Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes and Vanessa Zimmerman of Academy Mortgage are hosting doorbuster-style events every other month at a different locally owned restaurant where they will offer live music, giveaways, and a $20 gift card to the first 50 families or couples who come in. After two iterations, first at Wayward Sandwiches, then again at the Backstop Bar and Grill on Thursday, these dine-in-a-paloozas are already proving so popular that the businesses had to up the ante at their most recent event. "We were hoping to serve 50 people and ended up serving 70, Ellison explained afterwards. "We weren't unhappy about it at all." Organizers work with the restaurants to schedule each event, typically aiming for a weekday when traffic tends to be slower. Zimmerman, Ellison, and their team invite clients, friends, and families out to make sure each restaurant feels love. Canby's such an amazing community, and we wanted to make sure that people felt loved and our businesses feel supported, Zimmerman said. "We just invited people to come down, hear some live music, and obviously get some great food here at the Backstop." Live music came courtesy the 6-time Grammy nominated Americana artist Amanda Richards and the Good Long Wilds, who played country, soul, blues, and folk rock favorites on the corner of Grant and Northwest 2nd well into the evening. Ellison said the restaurant and bar were packed Thursday, estimating at least 60% of the guests had been invited for the event. "Every single person was raving about the food and the service," she said. "We just love these guys and we want to take care of them, their staff, their cooks, everyone who has been working so hard, and we wanted to take care of our clients in our community." Ken Arigotti, owner and operator of the Backstop Bar and Grill with his wife Lori, was humbled by the gesture. "We're so thankful for the support, not only tonight, but over this whole last year," he said. "It's been incredible. It really has been." As restrictions loosen and in-person events gradually return in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic, the communities of Cambie and Mooloolah will be gathering Monday, May 31st to honor our nation's fallen on Memorial Day. The Cambie American Legion Post 122 is planning a 21-gun salute and taps at St. Patrick's Cemetery on New Era Road at 10 a.m. Monday. The Post will put on a more robust Memorial Day ceremony at 11 a.m. at Zion Memorial Cemetery, 2010 South Township Road, featuring another gun salute, taps, and remarks by Cambie Mayor Brian Hodson. The American Legion will host its traditional barbecue lunch immediately afterward at the Post, 424 Northwest 1st Avenue in downtown Cambie. The menu includes a roasted half chicken, corn on the cob, and all the fixings for $9. Flags are already flying at veterans' graves and local cemeteries, the Post confirmed Friday afternoon. In the afternoon, Cambie Aurora Veterans of Foreign Affairs Post 6057 will hold the rededication ceremony at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial on Highway 99E next to Burgerville. All events are open to the public. The memorial's commemorative bell was removed and restored last year by local teen Anson Lacknier for his Eagle Scout project. The repainted and resealed bell was installed back at the memorial earlier this year. In neighboring Mooloolah, the VFW Post 3973 and Auxiliary will be hosting a ceremony at 10 a.m. Memorial Day at Adams Cemetery, located on South Adams Cemetery Road. All are welcome to attend. Now Here This Sports is brought to you by Rife and Hunsaker, PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Cambie has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. The leaders of two of Cambie's most successful and beloved high school athletics programs have been named the community's best coaches in the Cambie Area Chamber of Commerce annual Best of Cambie Awards. Local residents voted to have Cambie dance coach Jen Chaffee and head football coach Jimmy Joyce share the inaugural honor, which the chamber announced this week to coincide with the approaching end of the 2020-2021 academic year. Heading into his third season with the Cambie Cougars, Joyce rebuilt the team's coaching staff and has worked hard to transform the culture of the once proud football program after a prolonged losing streak that included a winless 2018 campaign. While Coach Joyce is new to Cambie football, he has landed with quite an impact, focusing on skills and culture as he guides the young athletes through their training and competitive season, said Cambie Chamber Director Kyle Lang. He's taking his team on the road to success, and we're all excited about the future. I am very honored to be recognized, especially alongside the great Coach Chaffee, Joyce told the Cambie Current. Cambie High School is blessed with amazing coaches, and all are deserving of this honor, in my opinion. Under Chaffee, the Cambie Cougar dance team has developed into one of the premier programs in the Pacific Northwest, winning five straight championships and gunning for number six before the coronavirus pandemic derailed the tournament in 2020 in March. She has proven time and time again that she can take different teams and mold them into a competitive force, said Lang. Her team is a delight to watch. Both coaches are beloved by their athletes, and we couldn't be happier to take a moment to honor their hard work with our young local athletes. Chaffee said she was grateful for the honor. It's humbling to know that these interactions I have with these dancers and their families extend into the community, she said. I'm thankful that our town recognizes the hard work these athletes put in and celebrates their growth and successes each year. It's the most fun job in the world, and I get to coach with two incredible friends. I can try to be my best for these dancers because I am so well supported by my family, assistant coaches, dancers, their families, and the staff at Cambie High.
Hey Tyler, I was reading an article the other day and I saw that 53% of Americans say they value technology even more since the COVID outbreak.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that article in Obvious News Weekly.
Okay, you don't have to be mean.
Seriously though, it is true. I know that I can't function anymore without all of my connected devices. And I heard that DirectLink saw a huge spike in internet traffic after the stay-at-home order began last year.
Yeah, it's a good thing DirectLink works hard to provide constant, reliable broadband service even during tough weather, peak use hours, and that big jump in increased demand.
Right, and we need access to a quality connection more than ever. We're working from home, the kids are still distance learning, and I've even had a few online doctor's appointments.
Yeah, not only that, but so many of our entertainment options have gone virtual. They're streaming TV shows and movies, Zoom game nights, and online gaming, so people really need reliable internet.
Wait. With all of that extra online activity going on, don't we have to worry about usage limits and high bills from using too much data?
Come on, Tyler. How many times have we been over this? DirectLink doesn't have data caps and doesn't charge extra fees for high usage. It says so right there on their website. Visit directlink.coop today to learn more. All right. Joining us on the Now Hear This Canby podcast once again is Nick Coleman. He's the director of Canby Young Life. Hi, Nick. Welcome back.
Hi, Tyler. Thanks for having me back. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. How you doing, man?
I'm doing really well. Yeah. Sunshine is out there today and things are starting to pick up. So I'm doing good.
Got a heat wave coming in, I hear.
That I'm not so excited about.
Yeah. Now. Yeah, no, it's always something, man. Nowadays. Well, you've got some exciting stuff coming up this summer. I'd love to hear about that. But first, you want to just kind of give us an update? How are things going with Young Life? How are you and the youth doing?
Yeah, things are going as well as can be. Obviously, it's been a hard year. I mean, it's like for all of us, it's been a challenge and trying to find ways to stay connected with kids. A lot of kids are isolated for all the reasons you think, but then there's just, we tried to pick up sports and activities and jam all the seasons in at once. And a lot of kids that we know of got jobs and even are working full time and try. So staying connected has been a challenge, but we're finding ways and we've been hanging out. We partnered with a local church to do some in-person stuff and to have a space to do that. And so we've been connected. We've been doing well and we've been blessed to people have continued to support us, that our leaders are still invested and involved and reaching out to kids, caring about kids. So we've been doing really well. I think kids are doing as you would expect. I think we've talked about this even before, that they're isolated and it's hard and we're dealing with just a lot of the stuff that you would think and trying to figure out what it means to be an adult going through adolescence, a process of individuation to get into the technical terms is really hard when you're by yourself, when you're stuck or on Zoom.
You don't have those kind of foils and those kind of chances to see how this person you're sort of becoming or these personality traits that are developing, how they sort of play against other people other than the folks that you're forced to spend all your time with in your family, which can sometimes
and families have either gotten closer or the issues that are there within families get more pronounced and it's hard to be a teenager no matter what. It's hard to have a teenager. It's hard to be a teenager. And so all the things that you would expect are happening in the life of kids. And we're blessed to be able to be a part of it, to continue to reach out into the world of kids and be able to talk to as many kids as we can, and excited for the things we have coming up on the horizon, which is what we're going to talk about here. So.
Yeah. And some of those situations are the ones that can be really tragic, that you really feel for and pray for, right? Where you potentially have kids sort of stuck in a potentially abusive or just a really tough situation with no real easy way out a lot of times. School obviously is all the things that we know it is, but for some people it's an escape, and it's a place where they have supportive relationships that they couldn't normally have in the distance environment, especially.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everything everything that was already there is just more pronounced. And you're right, there's not those ways of escape. There's those support systems to deal with it. There's, I mean, even just the life of at school, and we have been blessed in Camby to have a great set of teachers and stuff. And I know a lot of teachers personally who care deeply about the lives of students and are involved in more than just teaching, but caring about kids and all of that has been put on hold or diminished in the capacity or whatever. So, yeah.
Well, Nick, one last thing I wanted to ask you about on this subject, and I didn't give you a heads up about this, so if you don't have anything planned, sorry about that. I do apologize. But without giving any names or, you know, invading any privacy, would you be able to share either sort of an example or maybe an illustrative type of some of the work that you have been able to do and that some of your leaders, maybe some way, we've talked a little more generally about how you've, tried to stay connected to kids, but is there a story you could tell us a little bit that shows that in a little bit clearer terms, how, the work of your organization was able to continue in meaningful ways in this environment?
Yeah, I mean, we're all about relationships. We're all about leaders who get to know the names of kids, get to know their stories, invite them not just to come to an event, but to be a part of something. And so we've had small groups continue to meet at the park or as the restrictions have allowed, sometimes in smaller groups at people's houses and movie nights or just kind of smaller, more informal get-togethers, along with we have been able to do some more of our more normal get-togethers, and we've had our high schoolers meet on a more regular basis, kind of weekly, and we've seen a small but great group of kids who we've gotten to have real good conversations with and really get to know deeply quickly and to talk about life and the kinds of things that we like to talk about, the most important questions in life of hope and where did I come from and what's life all about. As well as just the main crux of what we do is that relationship. And so just a leader texting a kid or taking a kid out to coffee or going to stop by when they are working and see them there and have a conversation, we think those times are just extremely valuable. Anytime a leader connects with a kid, can look them in the eye, know something about them and show that they care. That's the heart of our ministry.
Yeah. And I feel, tell me if I'm wrong, but that basis on relationships that you have and that kind of singular focus on the youth, I feel like, and you mentioned, that Camby Young Life has managed to hang in there during a difficult time, with the support you have and everything. But I feel one reason for that was that focus. Whereas I know at our church, I feel like a lot of churches, youth groups have been struggling a little bit because it's not their singular focus of that church, right? They have a much broader, trying to do whatever they can. And it's been a little slower to come back as well in our church. And I think some of their churches, the youth group trying to figure out how do we make this work. Whereas you guys, because you have these relationships and that's your main focus, when COVID happens and we're all trying to figure out what can we do or whatnot, you kind of have that foundation to fall back on.
Yeah. I mean, we're doubling down on what we've always been doing and just about and for sure. And, I have good relationships. We love and know a lot of our local churches and youth workers, and they're doing great stuff. And we've, been excited to see some of the things that they're doing as well. You can get into some deep philosophical questions about attractional versus missional or relational or whatever the case may be. But we're just glad we're here. We're glad that we have a voice, that we have built deep relationships. We have deep roots in our community, and families trust us. The organizations, the schools trust us to be able to show up in the world of kids and be a presence. So, yeah.
Yeah, great. Well, looking ahead to this summer and this year to come, I hear that we've got some plans for some activities that don't necessarily involve screens.
We're doing some real life stuff, and we are so excited about it. The first thing that's coming up real soon, just a couple weeks, is our fun run, Canby 5K. We added a 10K a couple of years back, but a great community event. You know, we throw a big party at Waite Park, and lots of people come out, lots of families come and run together, and it's just a good time and a great fundraiser. We have a lot of really good businesses that throw in and support us in that. And it's something that we've been blessed to do for a long, long time. It's, I don't remember how many years it has been that we've been doing this, but become kind of a staple in the summer calendar of Canby as a community. And so to be able to do it again in person this year, we're very excited about.
Yeah. Did you guys do it last year in a modified format, kind of individual solo style?
Yeah, we did. We called it a virtual run last year. So just run anytime on your own up until the date and send in your times. And that was really great for being able to do something last year, but now to be able to come back in person and still not all the way back, still not going to have all the stuff that we used to get to have, like a barbecue and stuff like that. But we will do the in-person run. And so it's coming up on June 19th. And we're really excited about that.
I gotta say, man, it's a bold choice coming out of a pandemic with a quote unquote fun run. I hope you obviously look fantastic, Nick. You are as lean as ever, but I know me and some of my other folks I know are carrying a little extra poundage. So I hope I can get like a 5-minute handicap or something on my time.
Well, I will say two things to that. A lot of people went one of two directions, either double down on the couch or double down on the exercise. So some people are aching for a fun run, and it is a fun run. And so we do have official times. We've got it legit. If you are really into that running, this is an official timed event, but we've got a walking section. We've got families who do it together. We've got, you know, I did it last year, and as you're kind as your words are, I am not your typical runner. And so even I have no problem signing up to do a 5K. So
that walking section, it's okay if you literally have a walker, because that might be me at some point. So
Oh yeah. I mean, there, we do have an ending time limit. We have to be done by dusk, I think, but
okay. I could probably get in by dusk. All right, Nick, well, what else we got going on?
That's the big one. We're looking ahead, and then we move into the summer, and we are going back to camp this year. And so we're very, very excited to have two camps set up, for one for middle school, one for high school. And they're both back at the ranch, which is the Young Life awesome camp that we have in the Central Oregon desert, and just incredible properties.
Sounds awesome.
Lots of activities, lots of fun and friends and great food and just connection out there. So Young Life likes to say that our summer camp is the best week of your life. And we've had so many kids come back and say that it really, really is. And so we're excited to present that. High schoolers are going June 19th to 23rd, and middle schoolers July.
I was going to say, that's your fun run.
July 19 to 23rd, and then middle schoolers July 21 to 24.
Okay. Well, a little bit of overlap there.
They do overlap, yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. We've got more information and a way to sign up on our website, canby.younglife.org. Okay.
Cool. Yeah. I imagine you probably had a high degree of interest, folks wanting to come back to that, families and kids.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch. They've trickled in a little bit. So in the past years before the pandemic, we were selling out of our spots really within days of opening the registration. And this year people have been a little slower to sign up, but we are seeing kids come, and we're excited about the group we have going.
Fun. Remind us a little bit about what a camp is like and some of the things that you do out there.
So there's the property is so big, there's actually two complete and separate independent camps out there. So the middle school side has incredible activities. There's actually a full-size water park with, I think, 10 water slides.
What?
Yeah, like a super speed drop one, a race one on mats, tube ones. There's a deep well with a waterfall you can jump off, along with basketball courts.
That sounds ridiculous.
It is absolutely ridiculous.
Wow.
It's breathtaking to get there and see all the stuff there is to do. I mean, yeah, incredible buildings, incredible activities, basketball, volleyball, frisbee, all the normal stuff, along with the water park. And then on the high school side, we've got the pool is a big attraction, of course, but there's also a pond with a huge zip line, a ropes course, a sports center with, I think, 6 full-size basketball courts and a rock wall and skate park. And it's beautiful out there. It's an incredible space. The people, the connections that we get to have out there and the conversations we get to have are awesome. So we couldn't be more excited about going back out there and taking kids to camp again this year.
Awesome. Cool. So anything else going on? Maybe not huge events, but just, meetings or more, regular type activities that you might look to bring back now that things are loosening up?
Yeah, I mean, we're winding down for the school year, this stuff, but we are looking ahead at next fall. We've got some really exciting conversations and things we're planning. We're still watching some of the restrictions and some of that we're not quite ready to announce yet, but we're looking to get back a full swing into more of a normal year, more of our normal set of activities. We'll have our clubs for both high school and middle school. We'll have some really exciting events. We'll definitely do our golf, Hillbilly Masters golf tournament again.
That's always fun.
And some other really cool stuff that you'll have to stay tuned to find out more about.
Ooh, okay, well, we will. Nick, it's been really great having you back on. Thanks for being on. Thanks for all the work that you and your team do with our community. You've mentioned the website. Is that the main place for the fun run as well, if people want to learn more?
Fun Run has its own website. So canby5k, the number 5, .com, canby5k.com. You can go there and get registered. We'd love to have just as many people sign up. It's a great cause. It supports the work that we do here locally and sends kids to camp. We've been able to send a whole lot of kids to camp over the past few years through the money raised through this. Again, like I mentioned, we thank our incredible sponsors for helping us put that on.
Awesome. Great. And then your general website again for information about camp or just getting plugged in with other activities.
Mm-hmm. canby.younglife.org, canby.younglife.org. People can always reach out to me. I love to talk to people more about that. So
awesome. All right, Nick, well, thanks so much. Best of luck to you and best of luck with all your work.
Thanks, Tyler.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with 3 realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. Mm-hmm. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was gonna go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate and we got in a carriage ride with the horse and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months, sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Mm-hmm. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me.
Yeah.
3 generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life.
Mm-hmm. How can people find you?
How can they not, really? we have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me your name. I know your name, but how do you pronounce it?
So I'm Don Bruton. I'm the owner of Good News Barbecue.
Yeah.
And we're a family-owned business. As of course, you can see my kids over there.
Right.
My wife is in the booth helping us, and then we got
family-owned and operated.
Family-owned and operated. Yep.
Tell us a little bit about how you got into the business.
So I got into Good News Barbecue by just having family and friends over, and everybody was bugging me, Don, this is so good. You got to open a food truck.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I'd like to, but we'll, you know, maybe one day. And
yeah.
They're like, no, we gotta do it.
Yeah.
So a friend gave us a little bit of seed money. And as one of my partners, and so we just started doing this at the farmer's market to kind of build a customer base and see what happens. So we have some plans in the future to buy a food truck, hopefully within the next year.
Awesome.
And be able to serve the Canby area and the surrounding areas with a good family-owned barbecue.
Yeah, yeah. How did you get into doing barbecue? How did you learn how to do it?
So I actually lost my job at UPS and went to Costco, and the Traeger Roadshow
from COVID or before that?
Before that.
Yeah.
And the Traeger Roadshow guys were there and talked me into Traeger, and I wanted one, but I just couldn't justify buying one right then and there.
Yeah.
And then we got our tax return, and I had a little bit extra.
Nice.
So I went down to the Grill Center in Sherwood and an authorized platinum dealer for Traeger. And met Greg and Kim, great friends of mine to this day, and bought a Traeger. And that's actually the one I still have at my house.
Mm-hmm.
And just started going from there. And
awesome.
I have Texas blood. My dad's from Texas, born in Louisiana, raised in Texas.
Mm.
So all of a sudden, something just like clicked.
Yeah.
And that barbecue just started coming out with Traeger, and just started getting into it and loved it.
Nice, nice. Where's the name come from?
Good News Barbecue actually came from a buddy of mine. Isabella's dad, Gabe, told me about, you know, we wanted to start this and be a light to a dark world. And we had a couple different names in mind, and he's like, why don't you just call it Good News, because that's what you're trying to spread. And it was like, boom, that's it. It just clicked. Good News Barbecue.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously that comes from your personal faith. Is there sort of other ways that kind of comes out? Do you guys, you know, give some of your proceeds to charity and stuff? Or?
We have these gospel tracts that we printed up, and on the back has the gospel.
Nice.
And so people are welcome to take these and tell, you know, want to tell about Jesus. And then all cool. of the tips that we bring in every week are 100% donated to missions around the world.
Wow.
So we don't keep any of those tips.
Wow, yeah, that's so really cool.
We want to be able to give back as much as we possibly can, because we've been blessed.
Yeah.
And we want to be a blessing to others as well.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, tell me about your menu.
So our menu changes every week.
Right.
We have two staples that we keep every week, and it's our pulled pork, either sandwich or meal, and then the garlic jalapeno bacon mac and cheese. So those are our two staples. Those are the things we pack the most of. But every week on Wednesday, we post on our Facebook page at Good News BBQ or goodnewsbarbecue.com our upcoming menu for the week.
Yeah.
And so that's where you can find out what's coming on this coming weekend. And, of course, that menu rotates and changes out.
Yeah, yeah. That mac and cheese, that the jalapeno, what did
garlic,
you say?
Garlic, jalapeno, bacon, mac and cheese.
Wow. Are people, do they have to like sleep in a different room after eating that?
No. It's just a hint of garlic powder in there.
Love it.
A hint of jalapeno in there, but it's a nice little thing.
You had these loaded nachos this week, which were ridiculous. They were like pulled pork, brisket, like big chunks.
So we had the pulled
pork,
and then we had the Texas chili, which actually has ground chuck roast in it.
Oh, okay.
And,
yeah.
Ground Italian sausage in there, some peppers and different seasonings in there. I can't give away all my secrets.
Right. No, I know.
And
I know.
And then it comes with the loaded queso.
Which, it was almost like a beer cheese, is it? Or like?
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, similar.
Can't give away all those secrets.
Okay. That's
got
fine.
Some Gouda in there. I'll tell you, it's got some Gouda.
All right. Fair enough.
Yep.
Fair enough. What's been the response here at the farmer's market?
You know, we've had, out of the 5 weekends that we sold out, we're not sold out yet, but out of the five
it's
weekends.
Not even lunchtime yet.
Here, right. We've had 4 sold out weekends in a row. The response has been incredible. People are begging for good quality food, and that's what we're trying to bring to the area.
Yeah.
Of course, there's other barbecue places around the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
We want to do something different, and the response has been awesome. People love it. I haven't heard anything negative.
Yeah.
Especially dealing with our faith, people have been very receptive.
Sure.
and people have been very helpful with other giving to the missions as well.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. I think it's awesome. Obviously, you know, having new food trucks and having new things come to town that people can try, like you mentioned, it's something people always want to see here. But I think it's so cool to have the farmers market is such a great opportunity for small businesses and restaurants to kind of follow that incubator model a little bit, you know. And I love to see that kind of grow from the local community and not necessarily somebody from coming outside just to enjoy this event.
Definitely. Alexis has done a great job with organizing and hosting these events. We're actually going to be doing another event in Wilsonville. Mm-hmm. Starting June 10th, we'll be at their farmer's market
as
well.
Wow, awesome.
So, cool. Yeah, I mean, everybody's been great. The county inspector has been great for us. They're behind what we do, so we really appreciate everybody just coming together and rallying behind us and helping us follow our dream.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so, now some questions for the grill masters. What do you use to cook your stuff?
So we cook everything on a Traeger.
Okay.
So everything from start to finish is done on a Traeger.
And is that like a more commercial model, or is that like
so
a regular?
The Comp 190 is a commercial model.
Okay.
But we do still use our in-house ones as
nice.
Well.
Nice.
Of course, everything gets loaded up into the back of the trailer and gets towed around.
Yeah.
So, but we do everything on a Traeger. 100%.
Yeah. How big are those?
As far as grill space.
Yeah.
They're pretty big. They're pretty decent size. I mean, we can fit 4 full-size pans of food on them.
Okay, wow.
So on each side.
Yeah, cool. And you use different flavors of pellets and things?
Different flavors of pellets, depending on what we're cooking.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome.
Different seasonings. All of our seasonings, of course, most of them are listed on the side of the trailer, but we're a big Meat Church fan, big Whiskey Bent Barbecue fan, Texas Pepper Jelly, Meat Mitch. Those guys have all been good to us.
Yeah.
Heath Riles is another one that we use in our menu.
Nice.
So a lot of good things. And then Killer Hogs, How to Barbecue Right, Malcolm Reed. Mm. Great guys to just come around us and support us. And,
yeah.
You know, give us wholesale deals on that stuff.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're big fans of those guys.
Yeah. What about your meat? Where do you find that?
So our meat here, some of it is sourced locally with Ramage Farms.
Cool. Oh, nice.
Our patriotic flag
right
there.
Next door.
Yep, Ramage Farms. Ryan has done great with supplying.
It is Memorial Day weekend, so we appreciate that cameo.
Yeah, and of course, we're always patriotic.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry, you were saying Ramage?
No, Ramage Farms.
Right outside of town.
Right outside of town, yeah. He's got some great cuts of meat supplying us, always there when we need him.
Yeah.
So that's great. And then, of course, some other locally sourced meats, and then we try to buy as much locally as we can.
Yeah.
So.
I remember, I think it was either the first or second farmer's market meeting. I think it, farmer's market weekend. I think it was Ramage, but they had the baby pigs right next to
right
you. That
next
was
door.
That was, you know, an interesting juxtaposition.
Just giving them a little insight of where they're going to end
up. Their future, maybe. But see how happy they're going to make people, right? Yeah, yeah, cool. Okay, last question, unless you have anything else to share. Where can folks find you, kind of keep in touch with your latest updates?
So we're on all social media platforms, Good News BBQ at Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and we are on TikTok.
Nice.
We do have some little funny videos on there.
Just fun.
Barbecue.
Yeah, very cool.
And then goodnewsbbq.com.
Awesome.
And then we have our apparel line that's out at goodnewsbbq.com. You can find our hats and shirts and hoodies available there.
Okay.
So
very cool. Thanks, Don. Best of luck to you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears? Even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or no. That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Camby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.